We're never to stop learning. You may have had a teacher that tried to drive that home. Well, it's true. Here's Pastor Dave Roth.
We have the Bible. We have God's Word. Studying it is really important. If you have a Bible but you don't study it, if you have an opportunity to come to hear it and study the Bible and you don't do it, you're missing out on something that could mean everything to you. Smart people read. Smart people study. They realize they have a lot to learn. But another thing about people who are smart, they always know what they don't know. It's a complete fool who thinks they know everything.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
On this beautiful Christmas Eve, we welcome you to The Balanced Word. Glad to have you in our listening family. Today we're going to bring you a special message from Dave Rolfe based in Matthew chapter 2. Pastor Dave is going to focus on the wise men in the Christmas story. He's observed a few things in their lives that wise people still do today, like study.
Christmas is a special time, and we've been reflecting on it recently, and quite often when we think of Christmas and with our messages, we gravitate toward the simplicity of Christmas and the humility of Christmas, because certainly that Christmas morning was a humble time. It was a couple of people who hadn't, you know, people were questioning the parentage of this child that they were about to have, and here's this poor young girl and a construction worker pre-union, you know, and so barely getting by, and they have to go travel when she's due for a baby in order to pay taxes. They get down there, they can't even get a room. Then the shepherds come along. The shepherds that we read about in Luke 2 are humble, working class guys that the angels come and talk to them, and then they show up at the manger and worship baby Jesus. And then we talked about Sunday how Simeon, this old guy who was just hanging on to life because he wanted to see the Messiah. God had told him, you're going to see the Messiah someday. And so he blesses the baby. And so quite often we think about Christmas as a simple time. And around the story of Christmas are a lot of poor and simple people. And so it's normal that we see it that way. But what I want to share with you for a few minutes on tonight are some rich guys that were there as well. Because Christmas is certainly for poor and uneducated people, without a doubt, but it's also for educated and wealthy, successful people as well. And in this case, in Matthew chapter 2, we see the story of these guys that are, we usually call them the wise men. We usually think there are three of them. In most of the little manger scenes, there are three of them there. We get some of its urban myth mixed up with what the Bible says. There were three gifts given, so people have just kind of assumed there were three of them. Some people have said, well, it says they came into the house where they were, so therefore they weren't actually there when Jesus was first born. But, I mean, the manger where they were born was no doubt behind a house, so that wouldn't necessarily follow. But let's read about these guys. After Jesus, Matthew chapter 2, was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. A lot of the folklore has them as kings. Some of the songs, even We Three Kings of Orient are. Just because they came from east doesn't mean they came from all the way from the Orient. And it doesn't say anything about them being kings. But they were wise men. The word there, magos in the Greek, we refer to them as magi. A magos was someone who, you know, it was the word magic, magician, comes from that. And there's a reason, because people who specialize in illusions are really good at studying people's behavior, knowing misdirection, making them think something that isn't necessarily the way that it really is. They're very clever. But the magi in these Eastern cultures, and there were many of them. The whole Zoroastrian religion kind of centered around these guys long before Christ. But in Babylon, they had them too. And, you know, 800 years or so before this, a guy named Daniel had been taken into captivity into Babylon. And it says that he, because his ability to interpret dreams was so powerful, and he was such a born leader, that they made him the head of the Magi. So he was the head Magi. But what a Magi was, what we have to think about in our perspective is, think about college professors, scientists, historians, artists, you know, astronomers, astrologers, magicians, and orators. They were all of those things wrapped up into one. They were incredibly gifted people. And so they were the ones that studied everything that was going to be studied. They were the ones that kept the historical records. They were the psychologists and psychiatrists of the day who could look at someone and make observations about them to help them. Remember in Babylon there, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he wanted the Magi to interpret it, that would be like what a psychologist would do. The trouble is he wouldn't tell them what the dream was, and that's where a guy like Daniel came along, who had this amazing ability to know things that other people wouldn't know. Well, these are the Magi. They are the elite academics. They are very well compensated for what their job was. They were the doctors as well. They delved in medications and all that sort of stuff. So these guys came to Jerusalem, and they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Kind of his star, seen his star in the east. I'm only speculating here. There was something that they saw, and these guys, Magi, were big on tracing the solar system, tracing the universe, the stars in the sky, the planets. Don't think that because this was thousands of years ago that they were stupid. They were able to study events and time them, and they made calculations that were amazingly accurate, even by today's standards, distances to the planets and the timing of the rotation of stars and all that kind of stuff. So probably my speculation is that Daniel, who had been the head Magi, we know that Daniel, in the book of Daniel, had prophesied about when the Messiah was going to come. In fact, he counted it out, and you could look at when Cyrus made the decree to go and rebuild Jerusalem, he gave the number of days that would pass before the Messiah would be offered as king. And he, you know, there are many people who have calculated that the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was the exact day that Daniel had predicted. Now, there are some scholars who have done the calculations and said, no, it was like a day off. Sorry. But so they had this awareness of a Messiah coming, and they probably had a pretty good idea of roughly when, and no doubt because they studied stars, that's the way they calculated time. So they saw the star, but it gets weirder. But they saw this star and they go, wow, we need to go over to Jerusalem to figure out what's going on. Now remember, as smart as Daniel was, Daniel didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the Old Testament with him. He got carried off captive when he was a teenager. And so the law was buried back in Jerusalem. So these guys may not have had some of the scriptures that the guys in Jerusalem had, but we'll continue to read. They said, hey, where is he? We saw a star in the east and came to worship him. Herod the king heard this, and he was troubled. I mean, if you're a king and somebody come over, and Herod was the king over the Jews, and somebody comes and goes, hey, I hear there's a king of the Jews around, that's not going to be something you're really excited about. He was troubled, and Jerusalem was because he was troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of his scholars where Christ the Messiah was going to be born. So they said, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So quoting the prophet Micah, they told him, well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So Herod called the wise men in, and he determined from them when roughly they had seen the star, and he sent them to Bethlehem, which is just across the valley from Jerusalem, and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Yeah, right. When they heard the king, and they just sensed something's weird here, but they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. I can't explain this. I can't explain how someone can predict a time when a particular star is going to appear. But now something really weird and supernatural happened where this star actually guided them to the place where Jesus was. Now, that's where, for smart guys, you would think they would go, wait, no, this can't be. But as we'll talk in just a few minutes, smart people need to be open to the fact that sometimes things happen that you can't completely explain or understand. They saw it, and they got excited with great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Interesting choice of gifts. Gold was a valuable commodity then, even as it is now. It usually represented royalty and something that's really a big deal. Frankincense was, well, they didn't have air conditioning systems, and so they would burn incense to make it smell not quite so disgusting, since animals like lived in the house and stuff. So frankincense would have come in handy in the manger, no doubt. But myrrh, that's embalming fluid. A weird gift. I saw a meme this week that the guy with the myrrh said to the guy with the gold, I thought we agreed to not spend more than 10 shekels. But these three gifts. Now, there are people who have tried to speculate what the significance of the gifts are. Some people would say gold speaks of the fact that Jesus is God. Frankincense speaks of his prayer life or the way that he lived his life. And obviously, embalming fluid speaks of the fact that he came in order to die for our sins. And that may well be the case. There are other instances, however, in extra-biblical literature where gold, frankincense, and myrrh were presented to royalty as a gift at birth. And so if that's the case, it could speak of the value, the sweetness of life, and ultimately the beauty of death or whatever. It doesn't matter. They gave him these valuable gifts, and being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. Again, they were sensitive to spiritual things, even though they weren't what we would consider to be Christians. They weren't Jews, but if they felt something, they were willing to kind of go with it. They departed for their own country another way. When they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And then he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until Herod died, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So that was in Hosea 11. So two different prophecies, one that he would be born in Bethlehem, and he was. The second one, that he would come out of Egypt, because that's where he fled on after he realized that he was in danger. Herod was threatened by any baby that would be born king of the Jews, and so he organized an effort to wipe out all the babies in that area, and as a result, Joseph got the warning, and they headed to Egypt. Now, they were poor. They came all the way to Bethlehem and paid their taxes, they were even more poor. It's likely the only reason they could afford to go to Egypt was because of the gold and frankincense and myrrh gifts that they got that made it possible for them to even make their escape. Just a side note. Well, Herod did this horrible deed. Later on, after Herod died, they came, you know, got a word that Herod had died, and so they wanted to move back home. They still didn't want to go to Bethlehem because Herod's son was as bad as he was. And so then they headed up to Nazareth, and the scripture says that had been prophesied as well. Nazareth was where Joseph and probably Mary were originally from. So quite a crazy story, but the thing I want you to call your attention to, the thing I want us to think about is as we look at Christmas, and Christmas is tomorrow, and we all enjoy celebrating it for sure. We enjoy the decorations, although I mean, with like candles and lights, I feel so weird. I feel so like religious up here and like I should have a robe on or something. But whatever Christmas means for you, whatever traditions you have, I just want to remind you that there are certain things that smart, wise people do that we see these wise men doing. And I think it's why we have this story, because we kind of so often glamorize people who don't know much, and it is true that you don't have to know much to come to Jesus. You don't have to know much to connect with Christmas. Christmas is an exciting time, probably more for little kids than it is for adults in a lot of ways, and, you know, in different ways. I might have told you before, but my daughter-in-law was saying that they were going to go take a drive with the kids, with Brandon and Sadie, and look at Christmas lights and then go for ice cream afterwards. We had done it last year, and that's their new Christmas tradition. And I go, oh, that's great. And then Sadie pulled me aside. She goes, Papa, I really only care about the ice cream. And kids figure things out pretty quick. But here, we always see the simplicity of Christmas. But here are some lessons I want to suggest that we should learn from the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. Here's what smart people do when it comes to life, particularly when it comes to Christmas. Smart people study. These guys had spent their lives studying. It's why they were able to, with the education that they had, why they even knew that Messiah was coming. It's why they knew roughly when he was coming. It's how they knew where to come in order to find it out. And God does not put a premium on ignorance. It's true that often he used people without an education, but he also used people with an education. Where would Christmas have been without these guys who studied hard? Basically, the baby probably wouldn't have made it. The holiday would have been completely ruined because Herod would get the word as it trickled up to him, and no child was going to be safe at that time. So God uses smart people who study hard. There's much that we can learn. We have the Bible. We have God's word. Studying it is really important. If you have a Bible but you don't study it, if you have an opportunity to come to hear and study the Bible and you don't do it, you're missing out on something that could mean everything to you. Smart people read. Smart people study. They realize they have a lot to learn. But another thing about people who are smart, they always know what they don't know. It's a complete fool who thinks they know everything. You know, who just thinks, I know all I need to know. You know, I have a degree, or I graduated, or I know enough to do my job. These wise men were wise enough to come and do research. They traveled to Bethlehem. They asked questions. They talked to the theologians. And it's an example to us. It should be. Every time we think of the wise men, we should ask ourselves, are we studying hard? Are we still trying to learn things, or do we think we just know everything already? The other thing these wise people understood is that there are some things that your studies will not explain. There are some things that you know that go beyond your ability to comprehend. If we become complete naturalists, where we believe there's a natural explanation for everything, we, by default, become more unable to cope with the most blessed things in life. Albert Einstein said, there are two dangers in life. One of them is if you think that everything is a miracle. And he said, the other one is if you think nothing is a miracle. These guys looked to what they knew, but at the same time, when something happened that was mysterious, they didn't go, oh, no, that's illogical, that's irrational. Truly wise people will be comfortable with the fact that sometimes things happen that you just can't explain. If you have an explanation for everything in your life, then Christmas is just, you miss a lot of the magic of Christmas. That's why all the movies about Christmas, they all have something in them that's magical. Because the truth is, wise people understand there are things we don't understand. We can't explain.
Some valuable observations regarding the wise men, lessons to be learned and applied. We'll hear more from Pastor Dave Rolfe in a second. Today on The Balanced Word, we're airing a special Christmas Eve message, and you can hear it again at thebalancedword.com. And we have a special offer we'd like to get into your hands. It's Pastor Dave's Through the Bible in Story series on a USB. You'll go through each book of the Bible looking at key Bible stories with Pastor Dave. That's yours for a donation of $10 or more to The Balanced Word. And thank you for helping us get the word out on stations like this one all across the nation. Your gift would be appreciated here at the end of the year. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's get back to our message now.
Another thing that the Magi teach us is that the way they looked at Herod the Great, see, Herod was a really smart guy. Herod is amazing. You go to Israel today, and we've seen the cities that he built, the walls that he built, the structures and the stones that he built. And like Herod even put his own, you know, signature on stones. When you go down under the Temple Mount and look at some of the, you know, the foundational stones, they have that Herodian molding around the side of it that just says, I'm Herod, this is me. He was a great, accomplished person. But the wise people, they didn't trust him. They were skeptical of people in power. They were skeptical of people who have something to gain. And we will not be wise any more than the wise men are if we don't look a bit askew at things that people tell us when they have an agenda, at things that people are promoting because they are making money off of it, they are insecure and protecting their own security. They have an agenda. Now, that brings up the question, Herod was smart. You're telling us that smart people do all these things. Well, smart people don't do all of these things. There are many really smart people who refuse to study, or who study but they can't accept that there might be something that they don't know, or who study but they can't accept anything that might be supernatural. See, a loss of humility will render brilliance almost worthless. There are some people today who are like, yeah, I don't believe in God because most smart people don't believe in God. Most smart people are atheists or agnostics. And I'm not going to argue with you about that. You're probably right. Most smart people are atheists and agnostics. Here's the problem. Some of the smartest people in the world, some of the smartest people I have ever known, some of the people that are way smarter than any notable atheist actually believe in God, actually believe in the supernatural. So if You know, if you're going to like not believe in God because smart people don't believe in God, you've got to explain why some really smart people actually do believe in God. And people who don't believe in God have a reason why. There are certain things that they don't want to have to bow the knee to. There are certain things that they don't want to have to deal with.
We hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas. And come back tomorrow when Pastor Dave Rolfe will share a special message from Isaiah here on The Balanced Word. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And the instrument I play. Wake up.